Hallelujah. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. I know you're here early, and it ain't just for Panera, because Panera ain't that good to be up this early. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is early? Amen. This is early. Well, for farmers it's not, I'm sure, but for me this is early. Everybody happy today? Absolutely. Amen. I pick on Pastor Rick Burks because, you know, we travel the world together, and we're always together, it seems like, and we always tell Pastor Rick that he's going to be late for his own funeral. So that's why I'm picking on him. Hallelujah, praise God. Well, today in history was the most important day in mankind. Not arguably, but it was the most important day to mankind. Because of today, 2,000 years ago, we finally have hope. And we finally have a future. Amen? Are you happy about that today? Amen. You have to be. Come on. Praise God. Now, I've said this in the past, and I'll continue to say this until I'm dead, because it's so very true. And again, because we travel all over the world, and we see so many things, we see so many idols, we see so many statues, we see so many different religions, I just say this because I want it to sink in to people's lives, and that is, there have been so many leaders in the world that have passed on. And a lot of these leaders some claim to have a godlike status, and some have even claimed to be God. But the thing is this, they can confess it, they can say it, but they've never come back to life. Once they died, they never came back. And when they died, they didn't leave anybody anything except their knowledge of what they believed. They didn't transfer anything to anybody, they didn't give anything to anybody. Nothing. They gave nothing, left nothing for mankind. That's all they did. And Muhammad, of course, we use him a lot. But, you know, he's buried in Medina, Saudi Arabia. And again, thousands of people are there and they visit him every day. I just had to go online and look at his gravesite again and see what it looked like. I had to check that out. You look at Buddha. Buddha was cremated and his ashes are spread around in things called stupas in different locations where he had visions and where he said that God or he was enlightened and things of that nature. So his ashes are spread all around these places. But he's still dead. He's still there. You can find his ashes. Confucius is buried in, I think you call it Jining, China. You look, people visit his grave every single day. But he's still there. He's in there. And then, of course, we have Hare Krishna, or some say Lord Krishna is what they call him. And he was also cremated. And his followers has dwindled down to about nothing. They used to have shrines in airports. And people would go dancing and acting crazy in front of his shrines on all kinds of airports all across the country. I don't know how long ago, but Los Angeles said, we're done with this, and took his shrine out. Best thing they could have done. But these are dead men. Dead men. And people follow them still today. Thousands and thousands of people follow what a dead man says. It's a free country, isn't it? But here's the thing, and this is the coolest thing in the world. We can go to Israel, and I've been there. Nicole's been there. A lot of you have been there with us. I know you came with us, Marge, when we went many, many years ago. And you know, we can look into the tomb of our founder of faith, Jesus Christ, and we all did. And we found nothing there. Nothing there. It was empty. Nobody was there. No incense was burning. It was empty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It was empty. Because he's the one that rose from the dead. Hallelujah. People worship empty man-made idols every single day. They lay food in front of their dead god, only to pick it back up every single night. They sacrifice animals and even humans with no response. And they pray hours and hours at a time, every day, and again, get nothing in return. Their God does not reply. Yet they continue to do it over and over and over. I remember one time I was coming back from Africa, and there was a lady that was sitting here, and of course, she was Muslim. And every hour on the hour, she would get out her book, and she would pray to that book every hour. I just wanted to go over and touch her and say, would you like to pray to a living God who will answer you?
Amen.
But I was too chicken. So, yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But because Jesus did what he said he would do, because he kept all of his promises, and because he is alive, there are over 2.8 billion Christians in the world and rising.
Amen.
2.8 billion and rising. Hallelujah. Now, if he had not rose from the dead, not did what he said he would do, then we would be reading what Paul wrote in Corinthians, the first chapter. In verse 15 and 12, Paul said, now if Christ is preached that he had been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Verse 16. For if the dead did not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For sin by man came death. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is the center of our faith. It is our foundation. It is our nucleus. It's everything we build everything on is this resurrection. Hallelujah. And it's not in vain by any means, because he did rise from the dead. Just as Paul has stated, but without it, there would be no Christian faith. Essentially, we would all have no hope. And when we died, who knows where we'd go? Be nothing. But number one, because of the resurrection, because he did die, because he came back to life, like he said, thank God we have forgiveness. Thank God we have forgiveness of our sins.
Amen.
I've heard a lot of your testimonies. Now, I thank God that I didn't do any of those things. But I've heard a lot of y'all testimonies. And I can't imagine sometimes maybe the condemnation that the devil tries to bring on you because of the things that you did. Number one, maybe because you'd never heard about Christ. Number two, just because you were just a bad boy or a bad girl. But thank God that he washed all of it away. Hallelujah. Thank God. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his riches and of his grace. All of our guilt and shame was washed away in that blood. Hallelujah. Thank God. It means something when we take that communion, when we drink that blood. Come on. Amen. Yes, it does. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all of us have strayed away like sheep. We've left God's path to follow our own paths. Yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and sin of us all. Wow. In Romans 4:25, Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. You got to know that feeling when you've done something wrong and somebody else gets blamed for it. A lot of that times happens in our families. You know, I did something, kept my mouth shut, and my brother got whipped to pieces. It was felt good at the time. You know, I didn't get caught. You know, but you know, you eventually feel guilty. Man, that I should have got beat, not my brother. But Jesus got beat for all of us. Everything that we did, and he didn't deserve any of it, because all he did was good. All he did was heal. All he did was bring hope and peace and love. Praise God. Because of the resurrection, we have forgiveness of our sins. And number two, because of the resurrection, we can have a personal relationship with Christ. Unlike any of those other false gods that are dead, there's no personal relationship with any of those people. But Jesus, we can have one. Not a distant one either. He's not way, way out there in the galaxy somewhere. No, a personal relationship with a human. Hallelujah. It's beautiful. Mark 3:31 says, then his brothers, now this is what Jesus says, okay, about a relationship with himself. In Mark 3:31, he says, Jesus says, then his brothers and his mothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, man, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And as he looked around in a circle at everybody, and he looked them straight in the eye, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Wow. Are we doing the will of God? Because if we are, we're related. We're related. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. Come on. So because of Jesus' resurrection, we have forgiveness and we can have a personal relationship with our brother. Wow, isn't that weird? You say that? He's my brother. He's not just our king. He's not just our high priest. He's not just our savior, but he's our brother. Brother Jesus. That sounds weird, but it's amazing. He said that. That's how close of a relationship we can have with him. But it's not good yet. That's good, but it gets a lot better. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So we're brothers, now we're children of God, to those who believe in his name. Do you believe in his name? Amen. Two or three of you believe in his name this morning. Why are you here? Panera? Do you believe in his name? Woo! Then you're the children of God. I know it's early, sorry. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Here's where it gets real good. Here, get that organ ready, wherever it is. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Woo! We're not just brothers to Jesus. He's not just our king. We're not just children, but we are joint heirs with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wow. Wow, that means everything he has is mine. Everything he has is yours. That's awesome. That's fantastic. We have received all the promises the Bible has to offer us because we are heirs. We have been given the privy of sharing Christ's inheritance. That's a beautiful thing. As adopted sons and daughters of God, we are treated as firstborn heirs. Hebrews says that we are the assembly of the firstborn. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never gotten an inheritance. Well, I did finally got an inheritance from an adopted grandma who wasn't even my real grandma. And you know, I mean, it felt amazing. Now, of course, we missed her when she died. But man, I'll tell you, when I saw that check come in the mail, and I thought, I don't deserve this. I didn't do nothing for this. Well, I did work a lot for her, a lot. I was a slave to her every time I went down there, yes. Okay, I worked a lot for her. I didn't deserve any of it. I wasn't even related, blood related. I snuck in the family, and they weren't even related. But we're not related to God. We're Gentiles. You know what a Gentile was back then to the Jews? Dogs. Dogs. I don't know if Pastor Nicole's going to read that stuff this morning at the 10 o'clock service, but when he's in Garden of Gethsemane and things, the dogs surrounded me. Yeah, we were all dogs. We weren't related. We didn't deserve nothing, let alone to be joint heirs with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But guess what our inheritance is? Because we love God, because of the resurrection. Our inheritance is what we just said, salvation. Our inheritance is eternity with Jesus. Eternity with Jesus. This life is a vapor. But eternity is forever and ever and ever. And we're going to be there with Jesus. Ever learning. Hallelujah. Our inheritance is the Holy Spirit. Thank God He gave us the Holy Spirit. Woo! Our inheritance is the wisdom of God. Our inheritance is a measure of faith that He deposited to us when we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. Our inheritance is divine health, healing, and deliverance. That's our inheritance. Our inheritance is abundant provision, as Pastor Rick talked about a second ago. Our inheritance is protection. That's a lot of inheritance, and that's just a few of these things. And here's the thing about inheritance. I had to wait for Grandma to die 87 years. But when we gave our life to Jesus, we got that inheritance now. Amen. Now. Instantly. We didn't have to wait for nothing. It all was given to us on a download instantly. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Come on. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Here's the deal. It's been given to us now. We don't have to wait for it, so don't leave it on the table. Amen. Don't leave anything on the table. And it reminded me of a story when I saw this and when I said that, and that was in Joshua 18th chapter and verse 1. And it says, "The whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up the tent of the meeting there. The country was brought under their control." Israel had control of the country. They beat everybody. They messed everybody up. God gave them all the victory. It's all theirs now. Now it was theirs. All right? But there were still seven Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. It was there, sitting right there for them. And they didn't get it. They didn't go after it. They left it on the table. So Joshua said to the Israelites, I'm sure he wasn't very happy, "How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? What are you doing? Out of the 12, you seven are lazy. What's happening?" They fought hard to possess the land, but just had not went out and got it. What have you left on the table that has been given to you, that God has given to you? What have you left on the table that you haven't picked up? Because when you got saved, it was all yours instantly. Okay, what have you left the devil steal that you picked up a long time ago and you've just let slack? Now, there are a lot of other things that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus, but today I'm building faith in you, and we're talking obviously about the inheritance of divine healing. Because that, again, is our inheritance that we got instantly, an instant download. And let's look at Mark 2:2. Mark 2:2, it says, "Immediately many gathered together so that there were no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And then when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when that they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith," and probably the insulation and everything in his eyes, "he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.'" And then in verse 11, he says, "I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house." All those men were trying to do was get to Jesus. That's all they were trying to do. They had to break down a roof, somebody's house, to get to him. Well, let me tell you guys something. Because of the resurrection, we don't have to go through no roofs. We don't have to break down any doors. We don't have to try to lower anybody to get to Jesus. Come on, somebody. You know where I'm going, right? Huh? Yeah, you know what? Listen, we don't have to go try to find him like they did back then. Where is he? I don't know. I think he's up in the mountain. Let's go try to find him. People are wanting to see him. Where are you, Jesus? We don't have to do those things. We don't have to fight through a crowd just to try to touch a hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. Come on. We don't have to shout and yell, "Oh, Son of David, I'm over here. Shut up, fool. I'm over here." No, we don't have to do those things because he's right here. He's right now. He's with you and he's with me. Come on, because of that resurrection. Yes, that's right. The Bible says wherever two or three are gathered, he is in the midst of us. I see here, I count 1, 2, 10, 100, 200. Guess what? Do you think he's in the midst of us this morning? Come on, he's in the midst of us this morning. Woo! Somebody ought to get happy. I don't even drink coffee. I drank a cup of water this morning. Can you imagine with coffee? All right. Hallelujah. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." Life, what does life to our mortal bodies mean? That's health, divine health, through his Spirit who dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is inside of you and me. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, did you hear me? That raised Jesus from the dead after 3 days of being dead, that same Spirit lives in you and lives in me. Woo! The one who made the stars, the one who created the water when God said, "Let it be," that same Spirit lives in you and me. Amen. Wow! Hallelujah. Get that in your thick skulls and down into your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, if he can raise Jesus from the dead, what can he do for you and me? Mm-hmm. What chance does cancer have with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us? What chance does a little pain have with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us? Come on, hey man, that's right. All the way from healing of our bodies to sound minds, hallelujah, we have that. Praise God. Tormenting spirits have no chance, no chance at all. He has given our mortal bodies life. So don't let healing sit on the table. Don't let that part of your inheritance just sit there. Pick it up, take it. Because it's ours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The children of Israel were not saved. What? No, they were not saved. Jesus had not came to die for them yet. They did not have the new and better covenant like you and I do today. And yet, they lived in divine health. They lived in divine health. Heathens. Psalms 105:37 says, "He also brought them out with silver and gold." Oh, you mean God really believes in prosperity too? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He could have said, "And God brought them out with hay and stubble." But he said, "Gold and silver." Jeez, man, I think even when he was born, I think there was this gold and frankincense and myrrh. So I guess God does believe in prosperity. Okay, let's keep moving here. Sorry. Rabbit trail. All right. "He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among the tribes." They were not weak. They were not feeble. They were not sick. Over 2 million people, some say 3 million people, and not one of them was feeble. Not one of them had a cough. Not one of them sneezed. Well, maybe they sneezed. I don't know. They weren't sick. You can't get six people together today that don't have a need, that don't need some kind of a healing in their body. But 2 to 3 million people? Wow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason that they were all healthy and whole is because before they left Egypt, in Exodus, the 12th chapter, it says they killed the spotless lamb. It was a type of Jesus, okay? And they put some blood on the doorposts, and then they ate. Today we took communion. We drank the blood. Cleanses us. Protects us. We ate the bread. Divine health and healing. Symbolisms. These guys did it also way back then. When they ate the lamb, a type of Jesus, every single person was made whole instantly. Woohoo! A type of Jesus. Now, if there was a healing in a type of Jesus that made the entire nation whole, what type of healing do you suppose that we have with the real deal living on the inside of us? I should have dropped the mic right there. Y'all should have stood up, received your healing, walked out and had some Panera right there. We wouldn't have to keep on preaching this. Mm-hmm. How dare the devil come across the blood at us, at our families? How dare him try to bring sickness to the righteous? How dare him? He must flee at the name. 1 John 3:21 through 23, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us the commandment. So it's not just a commandment. It is a commandment with two parts. Yes, we're supposed to love one another, and I think we do that. But first we are supposed to what? Believe in the name. Do we really believe in that name? That's the question. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's just not about loving one another. We have to believe on the name of Jesus for anything to happen. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, here we go again, believing the Lord Jesus and now confessing the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. We simply have got to believe and confess his name. It's not rocket science. Faith doesn't need Jesus to show up and touch you. It doesn't. He doesn't have to be here physically because he's already here. We only need to believe in the name. Say the name. Confess the name. Amen. And it will happen. There was a nobleman's son who was sick, and he went to Jesus and asked him to come to Capernaum to heal him before he died. And in John, the 4th chapter, verse 49, it says, the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke. Did you hear that? He believed the word that Jesus spoke, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him what? Your son lives. Your son lives. The man believed Jesus' word, and the boy was healed the same hour. Your Bible is God speaking to you and me. That's what your Bible is. It's life. It's Zoe. And it speaks to us every time we read it. It's speaking life to us. We have to believe his word. His word says he heals all of our diseases. All of them. In Jesus' name, we lay hands on the sick, the Bible says, and they will recover, is what he says. And the last thing I want to tell you is Jesus is willing to heal. He is willing to heal. I know he can, but does he want to? And then the same story, the leper in Matthew, actually 8th chapter, he came to Jesus and he said, Are you willing? If you're willing, will you heal me? Will you heal me? And Jesus said, I am willing. Now, in another translation, in Pastor Randy's translation, duh, of course I will. Yes, he is willing. He showed us throughout his whole ministry that he was willing. When he said he went to a town and healed them all, he never turned down one person for healing, ever. Ever. And yet we think he's going to turn us down? No, absolutely not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody just stand up with me right now. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus' resurrection, your inheritance is divine healing today. Absolutely right now, today. Don't leave it on the table. Don't leave it there. Pick it up. It's been yours ever since you said, I do to Jesus. Can you imagine that? Saying, I do, and never picking up the benefits of what I do will do for you and your wife or your husband. Why would you not pick the benefits up? You dated her or him for years. Oh, you spent thousands of dollars on them, right? Was there every minute of the day. And then you marry them and you do nothing with them. Is that stupid? Yes, it is. But yet, when it comes to Jesus, but when it comes to everything and the inheritance that we have instantly, we just leave stuff on the table. Or we don't believe that he could do it for me. He didn't do it in vain. He saw you. He knows what you did and have done. And he washed it away. It meant nothing to him. And he is here to heal and set free and deliver people today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need healing today, then I want you to come right down front right here and just kind of whoop, just line up right through here. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Hallelujah. Pastor Nicole, come up here. Pastor Rick, come up here. Hallelujah. We are going to do what the Bible says to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Mark 16th chapter, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, we will cast out demons. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. You know, there's not sickness and disease. I guess I should say it like this. There's sickness and disease, and of course the devil is the author of sickness and disease. But not everybody that's sick has a devil. Not everybody that's sick has to have a devil cast out of them. It's sickness and disease. It's just what the devil brings on people. But he finishes it up in Mark the 16th chapter by saying, you lay hands on the sick and they might recover. You got your healing right there. They will recover. It will happen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to pray a general prayer. And then we're going to lay hands on you. And you're going to be healed. And that's as simple as it is. You're not leaving anything on the table this morning. It's yours. It's been yours. Ever since you said, I do to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your brother. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I do want to say this. Those of you who may have never been to a service, those of you that, because we're getting new people in all the time, every week new people are coming, you might see weird things happen when we pray for people. You might see people fall down. Well, what's that all? Where's that in the Bible? It's all over the Bible, actually. Even when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and all those soldiers came, they said it was a troop. I don't know how many's in a troop.
6,000.
What now? 6,000 came for Jesus? Really? Wow, okay. That's crazy. Yeah, Mel Gibson got that one wrong. A troop came to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. And when they got there, Jesus looked at him and said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And when he said, "I am he," that entire troop fell backwards on the ground. Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. When I think it was Peter, John, and one of the other guys, when they were like with Jesus, they all fell down. They couldn't stand. The priest couldn't even stand up when God came down to people. Peter fell over in a trance. Lots of things happen when the presence of God is here. And people just deal with the presence of God differently. So I hope that answers some of your questions. Because the power of God is here. Hallelujah. Angels are here ministering health. Are you ready? Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah. Oh, we have authority over all the powers of the enemy, Father. Hallelujah. And I thank you right now, God, for, Father, your children stepping out in faith, God, for their healing this morning. Oh, Father, you said you would heal the sick. You said you would cast out the devils. You said we would do those things in your name. And God, I right now, in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, the authoritative name of Jesus, God, I command healing, Lord God, to come to these people's lives right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke pain in the name of Jesus. It has to go from their bodies, God. I rebuke cancers in the name of Jesus. It cannot stay in their body. Hallelujah, the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, I rebuke all types of disease throughout the body, blood diseases in the name of Jesus. They must go, hallelujah, right now in Jesus' name. Back pain, leg pain, it must go in the name of Jesus. Come out of them right now, hallelujah, right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. You're worthy to be praised this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I thank you for sound minds this morning in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Leave them, devil. Go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank you for it this morning, Lord. I give you praise for it this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of every name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, I thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, to come on him in Jesus' name. Behold, I thank you for it, Father. God, I thank you.
Was the cross meant for me that my Savior carried? Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was the grave meant for me where my sin lay buried? Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God. Now I'm alive to tell the story how I've overcome. Goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. No, I'm alive to tell the story how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood.
Come out of him right now.
was a cross meant for me that my Savior carried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was a grave meant for me where my sin lay buried. Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God. Was a cross meant for me that my Savior carried. Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God. Was a grave meant for me where my sin lay buried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was a cross meant for me that my Savior carried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was a grave meant for me where my sin lay buried. Now I stand redeemed by the mercy. Was the cross meant for me that my Savior carried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was the grave meant for me? Was the cross meant for me that my Savior carried? Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. Was the grave meant for me where my sin lay buried? Now I stand redeemed by the mercy.
Praise him. Come on,
God.
Just praise him. Just praise him. Just praise him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom was based on what I've done. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His love.
We got to believe. We have to believe. We have to confess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil's out. He's out like never before. We have to be more active. We have to be more aggressive. Hallelujah. We have to be reading more. We have to be studying more. We have to be praying more if you're going to stand in these last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the devil is under our feet. He's under our feet. He is defeated. Hallelujah. He's defeated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for the healings. God, I thank you for the miracles today. Lord God, hallelujah, that you receive the glory for it. Father, I thank you for loving people. I thank you for helping people. I thank you for healing people, your children this morning, God. Oh, I thank you so much for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It wouldn't be Resurrection Sunday if we didn't ask if anybody would like to receive Jesus today. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus as their Savior? Hallelujah. The King of Kings, the only God that's alive, the only God that can help you. Anybody at all? All right, all y'all are saved. The morning crowd is saved. Okay. All right. God, I bless everybody today. I bless the people today. God, I thank you for the seeds, Lord God, that have been planted in their hearts today. God, I thank you, Father, that because of your word, not my words, but your word today, the Lord God, if anybody out here has left anything else on that table, their inheritance, Lord, that they'll pick it up right now and begin to use it. Begin to use it, Lord God, for your glory. I thank you for that this morning. And God, we thank you, Father, for the 10 a.m. service. God, we thank you for the people that are coming in hurt and broken. God, that need to hear a good word from you this morning. That need to touch from you this morning. God, I thank you, Father, hallelujah, that we have seeded the atmosphere, Lord God, for more great things to come for this 10 o'clock crowd today, your people, your children. Thank you for great things today all across the world. I thank you for plundering hell all across the world today. Lord God, that your name arise above every name, every false name that tries to come against you today on Easter Resurrection Sunday. In the name of Jesus, thank you for a blessed week, and we give you praise. And everybody said, amen and amen. Love you guys. Apparently Panera is waiting on you. God bless.